Good morning. Breathe in. Deep. Stretch those lungs out a bit. Breathe out. And smile. Smile. Let the joy and rejoicing doesn't always mean smile, but there's a joy in you. Let it come out in a smile right now. Let it come out in a smile. However else you're feeling, ignore that. We're not feeling oriented. We're truth oriented. Smile. Your Heavenly Father is an awesome God. And He has asked us to meet every week. He has laid out this example for us to meet on the first day of every week, to do what Mark admonished us. Encourage one another, unite with one another, build up one another, learn from one another, strengthen one another. So we rejoice, even in death, even in our own death, we rejoice. We rejoice. Happy Father's Day, men. Fathers out there, children, make sure your dad gets an extra clear thank you and I love you today. Some of us have fathers who've passed on, some young, some old, don't have a father. And I really appreciated Trey, if you heard last week, Trey Morgan giving the story of his life where his father died when he was very young. He lost his father as a boy. Enzo is making sure that I have some competition. He lost his father as a little boy and then gave us a lesson last week on how God specifically and deliberately stands in the place of father to us. But then how those characteristics of God are echoed in our earthly fathers. And oh, by the way, in the other men in your life, as his mom remarried and he got another man in his life. It doesn't always happen. But God doesn't leave us abandoned as orphans. God doesn't leave us ever fatherless. He's always there to be our father. So whether you're like me and your father has passed away, or your father's sitting right next to you, rejoice in God our Father, that we can learn more about what it means to be fathers. Today's lesson, not too surprising, you know me. I don't let many of these days pass. Strong fathers for strong families. We did a lesson a couple of years ago, kind of partly filled with statistics, showing this incredible transition in families when the father is devoted to the church. How more, much percentage-wise, double, triple the effect that mothers have on children. If you have a family where the father is devoted to the church but the mother is not, it's a much more powerful influence to the children, just statistics, than if the mother is devoted to the church and the father is not. If the father comes to Christ first of an entire family, if the father is the first one to be baptized into Christ, you have over a 90% chance of the rest of the family following. If the mother is the first to come to Christ, it's less than 20% for the rest of the family to follow. That's the most dramatic of those statistics we went over. Fathers are powerful forces in our lives. And the way that we have treated women has been awful in the societies around us over the centuries. But the way that we are treating men is awful. We don't balance out mistreating women by mistreating men. We need to honor the people around us. Obviously, women are awesome in our lives and wonderful in the Lord and filled with strength and dignity and courage and effectiveness. But it's not Mother's Day. It's Father's Day today. So we're going to be talking about dads. You know my line. We don't want to go back to normal. We've learned a lot of good, powerful things. The first thing we learned about COVID when last March hit and everything sort of flipped upside down, the NBA shut down and that was shocking, but when the Final Four, when March Madness didn't happen and the colleges didn't play basketball, I was, what? How did that get stopped? I mean, when our society just comes to this screeching halt and all sorts of things get turned over, we're driving down the road, we're coming across the western United States, and Carol and I, like you, are stunned. We're trying to figure out how do we get back to Alaska. And Carol said, it just shows you the power of God. God is in control. God has got everybody sitting up and taking notice. Now, that's not a cause and effect. That's a we trust our Heavenly Father. And whatever He brings into your life, whether what He brings into your life is brought by Satan, as Scripture sometimes said, whether it's brought by God Himself, as Scripture sometimes said, or whether it's just brought by the consequences of life, whatever that is, in every one of those cases, we sit up and take notice. And the question to ask is always, Father, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Always teach me in this confusion, in this difficulty, teach me. And I had my sweet wife sitting next to me saying, wow, what a God we have. Let's trust Him. So we don't want to go back. And I want to show you a bit why we don't want to go back. We don't want to go back to normal. First of all, there's no normal. I'm not sure how to describe that. But we don't want to go back. I know what we mean, and I don't fault what we mean by this, by the statement. I would love to go back that mask wearing is a what? Who would do that? Why would you do that? I would love to go back to where we don't have this system of distancing, where we've lost thousands of hugs. And I mean that. Touch is important. I hate that we've lost thousands of pieces of contact, that we still have families who are at home, separated because of the disease. We don't want to go back. We don't want to go back because we have grown, and we have a lot more growing to do. We have grown. Let's look at Psalm chapter 78. Listen, O my people, to my instruction, starting in verse 1. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. So it's really good to have a printed Bible in your hands. I know you have one. I really encourage you to bring a Bible with you. And bring a notebook with you. A journal, kind of a notebook, would be a good one. To write things down. A paper Bible that you can go quickly back and forth between scriptures is very helpful. There's nothing wrong with an electronic Bible. But we need to take note of entire sections of scripture and be able to jump around the page and look at things. And your printed Bible is so good in that. I'm in verse 3, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. Part of what I want us to think in this scripture is I want, and I challenge you sometimes, I say, think about your grandchildren. Think about your children's grandchildren. Teenagers, think about your grandchildren. What? I don't even want to think about my children. Think about your grandchildren, because the decisions you make now affect your grandchildren. They affect who your grandchildren marry and affect the lives of those families. This says that. Verse 6 says, the generation might know even the children yet to be born, and that they may arise and tell them to their children. He's talking about unborn children growing up and teaching their children. That's the effect that the psalmist has here. That's the effect of fathers teaching children with an eye on their future and their future's future. That's dad's work. It's mom's work too. This is Father's Day. This is Father's Day. That they should put their confidence in God. Why will a child put their confidence in God? Because they see their dad putting their confidence in their God. Dad was the strongest guy around. At some point in your life, your dad was your strongest man you knew. You'd never imagined anybody as strong as your dad. Story of a child in Texas, I believe, who fell down a well decades ago. I think it's the 70s. Big deal in the town trying to figure out how to get this child out way down in a well, one of those narrow wells, not a big dipping well, but a pumping well, a narrow well. He was way down there. Any direction you came at, the well's going to collapse and you're going to lose the child. The local firemen were there and they finally got a harness down. They finally got the child aware of paying enough attention to put the harness in a safe place. And they were talking to the child and they said, we're getting ready to pull you out. Is there anything you need to be ready? And the child said, yes, I want daddy on the rope. I don't make up emotional stories. It's told to me, and I read it as a true story. You can imagine the muscles and the strength of those firemen, but the strongest person that little child knew was daddy. You see, we put our confidence in God because we saw somebody ahead of us putting their confidence in God. The most powerful figure in our lives at a certain time is our father. Now, there are plenty of other people to show confidence in God. In fact, that's part of what this lesson is right here. And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And not, verse 8, this is where you get your underline pen. You get your pencil, write this down, and not be like their fathers. What? I thought this was Father's Day. A stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God. We don't want to go back. Because going back means going back, in certain cases, to dads who weren't preparing themselves. It goes back to families that weren't focused on serving God. It goes back to families who weren't prepared, who weren't faithful. We don't want to go back. We want to go forward. You can't go back anyway. But what we can do, I have a responsibility to make one person's decisions, me. What I can do is to be the dad described here to the children and grandchildren in my life. What you can do is to be the dad in your family's lives that's described here. Or the secondary thing we can do is to be that voice of support and strength and encouragement that Mark talked about, to build up the other dads around us. What were they missing They forgot his deeds, verse 11, and his miracles that he had shown them. He wrought wonders before their fathers in the land of Egypt. You see, you had fathers, what they're supposed to be doing by the what we read verses 2 through 8, through 7 rather, fathers who are listening to the word, who are studying the word, who are confident. Oh, we want our faith to be confident. We want our walk to be confident. We want our thinking to be confident. We want our judgments to be confident. Who are praising, men who are praising God, joyous men, rejoicing men, visionary men, men who think about their grandchildren's children by what we read earlier. These men had missed something. They weren't even the ones being critiqued here, the ones being rebuked here. They weren't even remembering Israel coming out of slavery. They weren't even acknowledging God's great works. We asked that Jason would lead some praise songs to God, and we were praising God this morning. Thank you, brother. We were praising God and his glory and his great works. You were singing, some of you at the top of your lungs, praises to God. Let us do that in our daily lives. They're praising God for bringing them out of slavery. Let me give you a little connection here. Apolitical, non-political. What was yesterday? What was the celebration yesterday? It was Juneteenth. I had Juneteenth in my high school when I was a kid, when I was a teenager. Not by the school, it wasn't on any calendar, but it was in my friend's conversation, and I said, what's that? And I heard about it, and I said, oh, that sounds pretty cool. But I didn't understand it until the last 10 years or so. It's a celebration of release from slavery. That's something to celebrate. Get the politics out of it. Throw the politics to the side. Our nation had a time of embarrassing behavior. Still does in some cases. But we had a structure that said, no, we're not doing that. And so yesterday's new holiday made for the 19th of June. 19th of June, 1865 is the day that the federal agents with some force behind them got to Texas and made the last proclamation across all the territories in the South or wherever it was effective that there's no more slavery. That's a thing for us to be thrilled about. And you can, Dad, you can teach your children that stuff, that we want nothing to do with horrible behavior like that. And we celebrate that it's over. That's a statement a dad can make to his family, and the kids sit up and take notice and say, wow, that's cool. I'm glad we're done with that. That's what God is asking, and that's what he's criticizing his people for, not even noticing that he brought them out of slavery, that he freed them, and that the fathers forgot to praise God. They forgot to praise God. In Second Chronicles, what we read just before the lesson, they're in captivity. The people of Israel are in captivity. The Assyrians have taken over them. And finally, the remnant, or those left in Israel, the king is reestablishing a worship of God, and he's sending runners across the country, and he's saying, go tell them, O sons of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, that he may return to those who escaped and are left from the hands of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and your brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord. For he made them a horror, as you see. But now do not stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to the Lord and enter his sanctuary and serve the Lord your God, and he is compassion and will welcome you. This transition from those who were proud and resistant and disobedient, who wouldn't think if you were a captive, the whole nation practically was in the captivity of Assyria, this powerful, godless nation. How horrible was that? But did God say, you need to look back at the good old days before Assyria captured you? You want to long back to what you had? No, he said, don't long for what you had. You don't want to go back. You don't want to go back. It sounds like the good old days. We weren't in captivity back then. And God says, don't long for that. Don't long for that. Because what you had back then was unfaithful, was proud, was resistant, was disobedient. We're moving forward. We're moving on from here. We want to encourage today, it's Father's Day, men and boys, to fulfill the position that God has for them. Men, teach your children, teach your grandchildren, walk as an example for them, filled with joy, filled with purpose, filled with submission to God, filled with faith, filled with love. We have men all through the congregation like that. But this is why we think and we say, no, we don't want to go back to normal. We want to press on. Because good old days depends on where you're standing. Good old days aren't so good if you're looking at things from God's point of view. Sometimes good old days aren't so good. Good old days when everything was fine and I didn't have to worry about stuff and I didn't have to work hard for my faith and I just shuffled off to work and I got paid and I came home and took a nap. Rather than a day in which I'm serving the Lord and have my eyes wide open and I talk to people, and I love and serve my family. Today we want to encourage young men and boys. We want to encourage young men and boys because we need them. Our families desperately need them. Tomorrow's family, what does this room look like 50 years from now? And I'm not talking about paint. What does this room look like 50 years from now? Whose families are here? Who are the fathers teaching their children? Who are the men committed to their wives? Image that. Think about that. We need strong men and boys. Happy Father's Day? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to go through a few slides encouraging some encouraging points on fathers and the way we want to encourage men and boys to be fathers. So, ladies first, right? Not in a wedding. You paid attention. When you start doing weddings, you start paying attention to what happens. Like, what? Really? I didn't know that. Who says their vows first? Who says the vows first? The men do. Why? Because she's vulnerable. It has nothing to do with weakness. Why is she vulnerable? Because she's going to be holding children in her arms. That's stronger than probably what he's going to be doing. But the woman needs to hear, are you going to be here for me? Are you going to be reliable? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be hardworking? Are you going to be a provider? And you saw me, I leave the dad in between the two of them while they're doing their first vow. And everybody goes, what's he doing? Why are they still standing up there? I want the dad to hear that the young man says, I'm going to be there for you. Okay, I heard him. And then she can say, okay, I can be there for you too. All three vows, talk about structure. There's no weddings ceremonies spelled out in the Bible. So this is a man's creation. But the pattern is because he needs to commit first. He needs to commit. He needs to be reliable. And then she can lean into his arms. It has nothing to do with strength. It has nothing to do with inequality in Christ. We're all equal in Christ. It has to do with the nature of the character of the two people involved. Several principles on strong fathers. A strong father leads. Proverbs 20, verse 7, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. A father is a leader. Whether he tries or wants to be, or it doesn't matter, a father is a leader, and his children will naturally follow him, whichever direction he goes. It's a powerful cause and effect in our lives. You belittle a father, you knock down a father, and you're injuring people all around him. We're here to support and strengthen and encourage and help fathers. Ladies, that's your job. You're your husband's cheerleader and support. You're there to make sure he's a hero and successful. God gives him a place of headship, a heart of responsibility, and a life of joy. Men, joy, rejoicing, lighthearted, easier going, unworried, unburdened. Jesus carries your burdens. Live lives of joy. You will inspire your family with your rejoicing. You know the joke, the wife says, sometimes I wake up grumpy and sometimes I let him sleep. I know, that's terrible, whoever said aw. Awful, terrible joke. What's that preacher saying jokes like that? Gentlemen, we always need to be safe in our family's presence. We want to be safe. That means our voices are calm, our behavior is under control, our strength is used for their protection. Joyous lives is the other side of that coin. Not only are we safe, but we are joyous for our families. A strong father teaches. Deuteronomy 6 is all about teaching your sons and your grandsons. Verse 2, that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God and keep his statutes. These words I command you today that shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in the house, etc. Proverbs chapter 4, if I can turn my page, Proverbs chapter 4 reads, hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Men love to share their knowledge. The father-child scenario is a natural teaching. And ladies, he doesn't teach like you teach. We ought to talk about homeschooling somewhere in here to talk about what's a good way to run it and a not-so-great way to run it. But fathers teach in a different way. And they're natural teachers. And dads and moms, your children are natural sponges. They learn and learn and learn and learn, especially when they're young. Take advantage of it. Teach your child every day. Take opportunities throughout every day. And in fact, no matter where you send your child to education, it is still, according to Scripture, the dad's responsibility that they're trained and educated. It is not our public school's responsibility to educate our children. It is not any other school's responsibility. It's not our Bible class's responsibility to educate our children. It is dad's responsibility with their mom at his side. Fathers are teachers. A strong father provides. Matthew 7 is what Trey talked to us about last week. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to you? And Genesis 2 says that as Trey again talked about, that the first thing, before a man was given a wife, he was given a job. He was to cultivate and keep the garden. He was a gardener. He was a farmer taking care of the garden that God created. We are natural providers. In fact, we're wounded. We are wounded when we're not the providers of our home, either because of sickness or disease or joblessness or whatever. We're weakened and wounded, and we feel inadequate, and we feel unproductive, and we feel like we're not doing what we ought to do. It's naturally part of a man's heart. It's their most natural way to show love. When you ladies want something else and the guy's been at work all day, he comes home and he doesn't do this, but he effectively does, ta-da! I was just at work all day long. In fact, I worked longer today, honey. I stayed late and got some extra money or got my project more completed. Ta-da! And she's likely to, how come you've been away from me so long? It is so hard like this. I don't understand. Why do you wait work so late? And so she's looking for a different kind of love. And he's saying, I've been loving you all day long. That and about 1,000 other things is going on there. But it's a very natural way for a man to show love is by providing and working for his family. God gave them that role at the very first. And men, we're admonished to work for whoever you're working for out there, like Jesus is your boss, like you're working for Christ. Men, a strong father corrects and disciplines his children. We just did that a little while ago in our song as well, but I won't go back to that. Proverbs 3:11, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, nor loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights. And of course, you know that Hebrews talks about no discipline is pleasant. No discipline is pleasant. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently, Hebrews 13:24. God has set a high standard for us to live, a high standard for us to live. God has set a high standard, set a high standard for your children to live by. Rebuke and correct quickly. Don't let things linger. Teach your children how to obey you. Discipline, the correction should always be from love. Always be unpleasant. If you're disciplining your child and they say, so, something's disconnected. You need advice. And always look a lot like consequences. If a child has been irresponsible with something, well, guess what? They don't get freedom much in the near future. Should look like consequences. A strong father protects. Proverbs 14, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Your children can relax and play and giggle in the living room because dad is hugging mom in the kitchen. A protecting father gives the children a place that's protected. Mom is loved. He is home. The home is together. And the children can roll on the floor and giggle until one takes the other's truck and then they're fighting. A strong father protects. Men are natural protectors. They take it as part of their character. Even when we're incompetent protectors, we still think we can protect. And we want to be protectors. It's built into our honor code that we won't let. I mean, the women and children first aspect of looking at, it's particularly a Western characteristic in this globe, but looking at, no, put the difficult part on me. I want the women to be okay. I want the children to be okay. I'll take the danger. We can. There's real danger out there. It's not necessarily in floods and fires or even somebody breaking into the house. The real evil out there is Satan worming his way into our children's minds through lots of ugly, horrible things. Dads, you need to know what they are. You need to filter and protect your family from the real evil that's out there. And it's an evil of thinking. It's an evil of desire. It's an evil of selfishness and selfness and want. So we stand firm in this, and we protect our children from evil. We're a soldier, Ephesians 6. We're the soldiers. Christ is the victory. And a strong father leaves a legacy. A strong father leaves a legacy. Your children will follow you. They will follow you. Third John says, I have no greater joy than this. Verse 4, Third John verse 4, I have no greater joy than this. And what is it? Do you know? You remember the rest of this? To hear that my children are walking in the faith, in the truth. To hear that my children are walking in the truth. Nothing brings more joy to parents than that your children are committed to Christ and walking in his light. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. That's not necessarily money. In fact, it's probably not talking about money at all. It's talking about character. It's talking about faith. It's talking about commitment. Grandchildren are a crown of old men and glory of the sons of their fathers. Psalm 103, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame and is mindful that we are but dust. God is a generous forgiver. He's generous in mercy because he knows us. And God, and a father, a dad, is compassionate on his children. Use today to build your future. Think about future. Think 50 years out. Think 100 years out. Think about your grandchildren's eternity. Think about them being baptized into Christ, your great-grandchildren being baptized into Christ, because we're establishing a strong congregation here that has in it the roots that will continue and continue long after we're dead, that this congregation will still be here preaching the gospel, serving the Lord, reaching out to families, growing boys into men, girls into women who are full of faith, who are full of love, who are full of commitment, who can raise families from then on, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, because we're thinking about eternity, because this world is just here for a very short period of time, and you and I are here for a much, 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 much shorter time than that. We're thinking way out. The world thinks short term. How can I get some more money? How can I get some more comfort? How can I have some more fun? We don't have a chance to think that way. We should never be thinking that way. We need to think completely differently than that. How can we rejoice, really rejoice, and be confident of whatever future we have? One of the things we put into that recipe is strong boys who become strong men who become strong fathers. Marriage isn't the only option out there. There's a completely blessed option of singleness in Christ. But most people choose marriage. And the family, strong families create strong churches, which create strong societies. Weak people create weak families that limp and injure, and we end up with lots of consequences from that. So, encourage the man in your life. Acknowledge his role from God. Appreciate his heart and character. Admire his strengths and skills. Ask for his help and advice. Affirm him with words and actions. This isn't just for ladies and wives. This is for children also. Appreciate your dad. Go to him and thank God. Thank God for him just being you and God. And then look your dad in the eye and said, Dad, I've been thanking God that you're my father. Tell him. Appreciate him. Admire him. Ask for his help and affirm him. We don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. We're moving on. God is moving on in our lives, and we are moving on in our walk in Christ. We want strong men and women to go into the future. And we can only affect one completely, but we can affect many, 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 many more as brothers and sisters. If there's any here today who have not been baptized into Christ, if you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward as we stand and sing. Thank you for listening to this lesson.